Welcome to the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. My name is Andre Chin, broker owner, real estate investor, mega agent, and real estate coach. We're going to be tackling all things real estate, bringing you guests from all across North America, mega agents, mega teams. We're going to be diving deep into their businesses to figure out how they got to where they are and how they consistently bring that hustle into their business every single day. Buckle up, our podcast starts now. Hey everyone, Andre Chin here with the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. Today we've got a special guest, Sam Metzger from the Compass Real Estate Advisors. Sam's been in real estate for over 6 years and is here to share all things operational and real estate with us today. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So Sam, tell our listeners at home a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got to this incredible position that you're in right now.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I've been in the real estate industry for over 6 years. I started as a marketing director and kind of worked through different roles within the industry, between an operations manager to selling real estate, getting my license for 2 years of just full-time selling. And then, yeah, stepping into the role as director of operations in 2017.
That's incredible. So I heard a lot there. So over 6 years, we went from marketing, we went to ops, we decided to get our license and started to sell, and now we're back in an ops role. What brought you back in operations versus staying on the selling side?
Definitely my love for systems, organization, and having everything organized on that side. It's always my passion. When I first got into the industry, I really wanted to learn how everything operated from behind the scenes before getting my license. So I ended up dropping out of university my second year due to lack of passion in the role that I was in or the program I was registered for. So I really wanted to make sure that I loved the industry before getting my license and having that passion and love for selling real estate. And yeah, obtained my license and decided to sell, and realizing that I really loved being behind the scenes and making sure that I was the one that was making sure the ship was headed in the right direction. And yeah, so the opportunity came up and I grabbed it.
Awesome. So for those listening, I mean, let's just cut through the BS, so to speak. You're my operations director, you're with our organization, Compass Real Estate Advisors, and you're basically the person that keeps it all together. Now, I remember back when you kind of looked at the role and you were selling, you were a licensed agent at the time and absolutely crushing it. Like when we talk about the hustle, you were 14 or 15 transactions in under 8 months and you were well on pace for a massive career. Then we lose our administrator. There's nobody in the role, and like everything else, I get the hat back because, you know, I've got to be the one to service it. And I still remember the day you put your hand up. You're like, I think I can help you with that. I think I can come over here and do a better job than whatever it is you're doing right now. And in your defense, I was doing a terrible job at paperwork and loading listings and all these other things that we were doing at the time. And then you kind of grasped the role. And I made a joke with you the other day. I don't even think I gave it to you, even though I was in so much pain. I was like, I think you still have to earn it. And you went and did that. So talk to our listeners a bit about kind of that journey and how being in your role is so pivotal to a real estate organization.
Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that, because I feel like we were kind of dancing around the scenes of what operations I was running. So thank you for that little background story. Yeah, in terms of losing that administrator and being on the sales side within the team, there was a lot of experience that I brought from my previous past in the industry, not selling real estate, that I was kind of watching and making kind of mental notes on things that I would have liked to do. And that's kind of where I started to realize that pivotal piece of, I'm more focused on things I would rather do behind the business than I am focusing on selling real estate. So putting my hand up and going, hey, I love what you're doing here. This isn't the hat you should be wearing anymore. And I think I look better in the hat than you do, and I'm going to earn it. So in terms of that pivotal piece for your real estate business, coming to a point in the MRAA, it talks about being so busy that your first hire is that executive assistant or somebody to take off kind of the transactional pieces off your plate. You're taking back that hat. It distracted you away from a lot of the other things that you need to be focusing on. So coming in, stepping in, knowing that I could build the systems and the models that needed to be put in place to alleviate and leverage off that piece was definitely a pivotal piece for not only you, but for the team and the company itself.
That's true. Well, and I mean, we didn't always, I mean, you weren't always with us, you were with other organizations. And so you've been around Rainmakers pretty well for most of your career, been able to kind of watch, quote unquote, the hustle. I mean, name of the show, we keep coming back to it. And every one of our guests have sort of given us some tips and tricks on how to get there. But what are you seeing from the other side of things as you're working with these massive producers out there that are doing big numbers? I mean, I think your most painful year was over 150 transactions as the only administrator on the team. So what are you seeing? Like, what are some characteristics that people should look for, or really how are we doing it? And you've got that inside sort of secret, because we keep getting asked, what's the secret?
The secret, I love it. Yeah, so to touch base on the most transactions I've been able to handle as one administrator for a team of, I think we were in two locations. It was last year, and we closed on 164 deals that year. So my busiest week is 19 transactions in 1 week on top of everything else with two teams in two different cities. We expanded that year and it was our first kind of opening to that world. So yeah, in terms of what I'm seeing and characteristics to look for in someone that can handle that is honestly one of my big passions and one of the things that I think is most pivotal in my career would be mindset. Finding somebody that is positive, is always looking for new ways and new ways of doing things that are more productive for the agents, but also growth. So having that growth mindset and always wanting to take courses and take advantage of so many people within Keller Williams that you can brainstorm with and find solutions, and surrounding yourself with others that are doing it better than you, and being okay to accept that somebody is running something better and learning from it and then improvising it into the business, because we can always improve on things if we're open to the ideas.
Well, and I've got no problem in saying, when it comes to systems and models, Gary Keller says, find the person who's better than you. And you're definitely that for our organization. But when you talk about mindset, I mean, everyone hears operations and thinks boring, right? I mean, oh my God, it's the people who do the paperwork. And we know it's not that, but how are you keeping your mindset in tip-top shape and continuing to push at the level that you are?
Lots of things. So I'll name two pivotal pieces for me. And I keep saying the word pivotal, but without pivoting, you're not growing. So the first one is attending conferences and surrounding my social feed with motivational speakers and people that are always raising their leadership lid and raising who they are as a person and never stopping that growth. One of those people for me is Rachel Hollis. So she's a motivational speaker and writer. And I attended one of her conferences last year, and something that stuck with me that I actually brought today to share is she mentioned in her conference, delivering on the promises that you make to yourself, you struggle with your self-esteem because you don't honor yourself and you treat yourself like your word doesn't matter. So a big piece for me is I say what I'm going to do and I do it and I deliver on it and I make sure that the person that I promised it to knows that I've delivered it. So that helps me build my trust, my characteristics, and make sure that I'm showing up properly for everybody that I set out expectations for. And the other one that has been great through this is The Miracle Morning. So Hal Elrod wrote a book about it. If you haven't heard of it, I'm up every day between 4:45 and 5 a.m. And I meditate, I journal, I read, and I exercise all before I get my day started and I come into the office. And that's been very pivotal, especially as we've been growing and getting busier and busier. I take that time to myself, uninterrupted, no email, phone down, and just spend it with me.
What's been the results of that? I mean, I'm not sure how long exactly that's been. I have a general idea of when you kind of started, but what's that done for you over the last year and a bit of being able to practice that?
Truthfully, it's given me this untapped energy that's inside of me that sounds contradictory to say I'm waking up at 4:45 or 5 a.m. and it's giving me more energy. A lot of people hear that and they think, well, I don't have time for that. I go to bed too late. I'm going to be too tired and not going to be able to function the next day, where it's actually the opposite. If you get up and you do all of those exercises, I come into the office bouncing off the walls. It is 7:30 in the morning and I have so much energy and I haven't had my first cup of coffee. I've been doing it since 2019, I believe, at the end of the year, off and on a little bit this year, but back on track again for the sole purpose of that energy that it brings and starting my day on the right foot and not kind of waking up and grabbing my phone and getting distracted by an email and not truthfully being there for myself.
Wow. That's awesome. And kudos to you for continuing to hold that together. For those of you that don't know, Sam is literally always bouncing off the walls, so much so that she's now doing a fitness channel. She's got all kinds of great workouts there. There's just that much energy that we couldn't use it all up in a day. We had to pivot back into something else. And now you're even doing more. But I mean, we get into this world and it's, you know, we're 2020, COVID hits. Our team's off to a great start and we're crushing it. And then we all get locked down and end up back at home. And your department pretty well put the team on their back and you guys kind of held it together for us through that entire time. Everybody else sort of followed and we all kind of got back together. But what's that like for you guys, pivoting into a digital world, doing things that we've never done before, supporting teams in multiple cities, all from Zoom calls? I mean, talk about a catastrophic change of events on a whim, and here we are today and still standing and still fighting. So talk to me about that a bit.
Yeah, so I mean, you said a catastrophic change, and yes, it was catastrophic for the pandemic and what it's done to our world and shifted everything. We were kind of due for it. I know we've, in the last kind of couple years, Gary's kind of always forecasted that there would be a shift in sometime that's coming, whether it's a pandemic or whatever that looked like. And it came sporadically in March for us. And what it looked like was really taking a look at all of our systems and our budget of everything we were spending money on and how our agents were showing up and just doing a deep dive into everything that we were invested in, everything that we were using, and how could I take that number and cut it in half, if not a quarter, to make it still efficient, but running more smoothly. So it kind of forced this reflection on the entire business to have our must-stay, our fixed costs that had to be there, and how we could pivot in the online world and cut our costs back to stay alive and support our agents and the families that come along with having a big team. So I'm actually thankful for COVID. I know that sounds really messed up, but I'm thankful for what it did for our business to really dig into the systems we were using, cut back where we could, and conserve our energy and make sure that we could push through. And we definitely did that in 2020. So,
wow, that's incredible. So your cost savings, you're at home working, you're still supporting agents across multiple cities. How are you functioning through all of that? I mean, we touched on mindset a little bit, and we're probably going to come back to this a few different times, but you're supporting multiple expansionists and not just yourself. I mean, I'd love to hear more about what your overall department looks like, how you're supporting that at a high level. How are you doing that? How are you keeping yourself getting up every day, still getting up early in the middle of a global pandemic while real estate agents are complaining that they don't have the resources to do? Like, talk to me about that.
I mean, I would be lying if I said that I didn't have any off days during the time we were in quarantine. I'm going to be real with you. There were a few days that I was on Zoom calls and I had multiple people check in with me and kind of ask what's going on. And I let myself have a day. I was in the basement. I had the windows all covered and I worked, but I was just not in the right mindset. I was kind of feeling down and drained. I get my energy from motivational speakers, like I mentioned before. I get my energy from exercising and being surrounded by people that lift me up and support me through those times. So I'd be lying if I didn't say our leadership team, and that includes you, Andre, didn't help be there and support through that time to encourage and make sure that I was taken care of as well through everything. Because in that supportive role, sometimes you're so busy taking care of everybody else, you forget to take care of yourself. And having that reminder of, hey, take an hour and go walk your dog or exercise or do something that gives you energy, that's just for you, that's unplugged, so that you can show up a lot better for the people in the organization. And I think just being so focused on keeping my mindset in that growth mindset and not thinking negative. I don't usually like to complain. If I do, I give myself 5 minutes and then I let it go and have kind of a funeral for that thought and move forward.
What do you mean have a funeral for that thought? What does that mean exactly?
It means accepting that something's come into my brain and that I felt a certain way, acknowledging it, feeling it, and then having a funeral where I just let it go. So I allow myself the time to process it in my head, but I don't want it sitting around and lingering. You only spill the coffee you have in your cup because you have coffee. And what I mean by that is you can't get upset because somebody pushed you, you spilled your coffee because you had coffee in your mug. So what happens to you and how you react is an epitome of what's going on inside. So if you don't deal with what's going on inside, how can you possibly show up properly for yourself and then for others around you as well? That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I almost want to give you the tagline, Sam Metzger, the queen of one-liner motivational speeches. That's incredible. So, even just sharing at home, like talking back through those tough times. And like I said, we get the unique opportunity that we get to work together every single day. And I get to see a lot of this stuff. I know I'm an absolute flipping nightmare to work for. And when I think back to some of those moments, how did I know you weren't okay? I still remember that day we're having a Zoom call. I think we're having a team Zoom call midday, and a glass of wine goes floating by casually. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's like 2 p.m. and that is a half a bottle in a glass. And I immediately sort of remember going back going, hey, are you okay? Like, should we talk about what's happening here? But there's a pandemic. We had to kind of do what we needed to do. And until we kind of got let back out and we were able to function a bit again. But I keep hearing mindset. And so you're supporting multiple locations. We've had other people on the call talking about expansion and what that means and everything else. But we haven't had anyone from the operations side sort of explain it. So what's expansion from your point of view? And why should people be thinking about it? Or what does that look like going forward?
Expansion for me, it's a great opportunity to be able to apply my systems and models and the manuals that I've put in place for what we call the hub. So your local, where the director of operations and usually the team leader would be working out of, and be able to apply everything that you've applied here in a separate location. So it's great, obviously, for the opportunities that it brings for the team, but also to apply it at a higher level and to have those challenges of, hey, okay, they're not personally in-house every single day. We're now dealing with somebody that is a drive away, but not someone that you see every day. And I kind of contribute a lot of the expansion experience that I had from the year before with adapting through COVID and having that. We already were communicating a lot through online systems and through everything that we had. So it was really just pivoting through our hub and making sure that everyone was all connected and together. So having that expansion experience kind of helped. I know I'm tying back into the COVID experience, but yeah, expansion to me is really just being able to make sure my systems and models are in place and in check and are able to be transferred into different locations. Because if they are set up properly, you should be able to adapt them, whether you're working with somebody that is 30 minutes away or in a totally different province.
Makes perfect sense. So talk systems. I mean, what kind of things does a real estate agent need
to do their job or to have somebody take over the pieces that they weren't looking for to do anymore?
I guess a little bit of both, right? I mean, where do we go? I mean, I'm a single agent. I'm thinking about getting into this world of the team world. I'm looking at building something. I have no idea what I'm doing. So take me back to when we started, and what are the first things you kind of look for, and what should we be keeping an eye on as a single agent if we want to go down this path?
Yeah, so a single agent looking, I guess, your question to find that leverage piece and to get started on what that would look like to have somebody help them out and help their business would be to write everything that you do in a day down to the mundane tasks of opening up my laptop and logging into my local board or checking my email and everything that you possibly do, writing it down and then going through it and circling all the things that you don't want to do anymore. And when you've taken all the things out that you don't want to have on your plate anymore, you've now come up with a raw job description of that replacement that you're looking for to help you. And then from there, you can kind of chunk out what that looks like for that person. And then you can go and find that person. Because if you're trying to find someone, but you don't know what they're going to help you with, it's really hard to find that right fit if you don't have exactly what you're looking for in that person to be able to qualify them for the role.
Okay. Any sort of metrics that I can look at? Like what if I sold 10 houses and told you I needed an assistant? Like, what would you recommend?
I would say sell 20 more and get yourself to a spot where you cannot handle any more appointments. You can't handle the paperwork and you can't handle what's on your plate that you can't possibly function and sell anymore.
So what sort of stuff comes through an operations department? Like, when I think of a real estate agent starting out, there's so much, right? The mountain is almost insurmountable. What sort of things come through the ops side of stuff?
Now, I'll give kind of an outline of what we run through. I know some teams look a little bit different depending on the services that they provide. We take care of all the paperwork. We streamline everything for the clients. So it kind of takes away that 80% of your tasks that are kind of sitting over on the side. You don't want to fill out anything that's prepping any paperwork for your appointments or making sure it gets sent off to the right people, making sure that kind of responsibility of all the paperwork and clients get taken off your plate, everything gets loaded in properly for listings so that you're not kind of sitting there trying to lead generate and now also loading listings that are taking away from that time. So we kind of alleviate everything other than what the agent should be focused on, and that's making calls, lead generating, and whatever that looks like for the agent, and then signing those contracts. And once the contract's signed, we take off all that workload and they leverage us for all those systems.
So you guys are basically taking all the pain away. So the agent gets to just focus on lead generating, signing contracts, doing their follow-ups, and then that's kind of their day? Or is there a lot of interaction back and forth with you guys? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so the department, I take care of making sure that they're set up on everything they need. They understand how the team operates and works, the systems that are going to set them up for the success. And then we have a director of client services that takes care of all the paperwork and the back and forth with the clients. You're always included in it, but we try and take away a lot of that communication piece out of the mundane tasks of just getting that listing up or processing the purchase and making sure that everything's sent off properly. And then we also have a director of marketing who takes care of all your social media posts as well. So everything's done from your flyers for door knocking, posting on social media. So really, in terms of communication back and forth with our department, it's really only if they have any questions. And then we have a really great culture on our team, so we do talk a lot, but it definitely, we try and cut back a lot of anything that is due with the transaction itself, because we really want to make sure that we're supporting them at the highest level so that they can just focus on lead generating, signing contracts, and living the life that they want to.
Okay. So some people probably listening to this going, that sounds painfully boring. How are you guys keeping yourselves energetic and having fun? And I mean, I get the luxury of being a part of it. But for everyone listening at home, how are you guys keeping your energy as high as you do?
Well, we like each other, which helps. So in our department, we are friends. So we get our energy off of each other. We like each other. So spending all day together and helping each other out. And honestly, the work that we do, it's to other people, it may seem boring, but a lot of days that it's the feedback back from the agents and from the clients and knowing that we're running such a great system that works. And then, yeah, back to, I guess, mindset and pouring back into ourselves and making sure that we're showing up for ourselves so we can show up for our clients and our agents. And yeah, I guess I'm the weirdo that likes my job and it finds it fun.
That's incredible. And you got to have fun loving it. I mean, the big thing coming out of real estate in the last couple of years is falling in love with real estate again. We hear it all the time, family reunion, mega camp, you know, loving what you do and loving your job. We've had some unique, crazy opportunities over the last few years, being the organization that we are. But I mean, operations don't really get to have the fun, right? I mean, the real estate agents out there, we're the faces of the business, we're doing all the cool stuff, and people look at us and think, oh yeah, you guys just get to drive around fancy cars and write deals all day. We've dispelled that myth through the last 5 or 6 calls that is not the reality. Even though some of us might have nice things, there's a lot of work that goes into it. But what are you kind of doing from the operations side of things when you hear, okay, well, ops must be boring. Like that can't be true. I hear you guys having a good time and yes, you love each other, but what other things are happening that give you energy?
Yeah. So actually, I'm going to refer back to November. I had the opportunity, actually, I'm going to throw you a little bit under the bus. I think it was in the summer, you had asked me to step on and be a part of a panel. I said yes, because I am a big believer in being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I thought, okay, great, I'll step on a panel. Maybe it's at the market center, there'll be 30 or 40 people there. What a great opportunity to kind of dip my toes into the world of speaking on a panel. And a couple weeks before this panel was going to happen in November, you let me know that it's going to be over 600 people. So adjusting into that and reassuring and knowing, hey, I'm okay with this. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but I'm putting myself in a situation to grow. And I got the opportunity to speak at the Real Estate Growth Summit as a part of the operations panel and connecting with other operation managers or director of operations, whatever their title may be, but very similar in the way that we operate and the problems we all have, and being able to be a part of that community and feed off of each other and be there is really kind of the bonus of my role, and having those opportunities within the industry to have that opportunity to not only speak on a panel, but really challenge my nerves and be uncomfortable being up there and realizing that I could do it.
So yes, throw me under the bus. That's completely true. If I had said to you in the summer, hey, you're going to be speaking on stage in front of 600 plus, because it wasn't, the final numbers were almost 700 plus real estate professionals from all over North America, would you have said yes?
Probably not, if I'm being honest.
There you go. So yeah, I downplayed it and everything else. And I mean, that's something that I think is constantly happening, where you're reaching out and seeking other professionals and networking and that sort of stuff. What's the benefit of doing that? And why are you continually always looking for that next bigger leader or that next person to help you grow?
Surrounding yourself with surrounding yourself with the five closest people to you, they could tell you everything about who you would be in the future.
Yes.
So I guess I am blanking on the name, but hearing that, it really put me into perspective of who I'm surrounding myself with, what conversations I'm having, and how can I be better, and to really show up not only for myself and my growth, but for the people around me. So speaking on that conference and getting out of my comfort zone and talking with people that I never thought I would get the opportunity to talk to gave me that sense of confidence of knowing there's a community out there of people that are going through similar problems, and you're not alone on an island in the support world. And there is tons of people that have either gone through it, have gone through worse, and are there to help you. We are in that support world, not only for our team, but because we love helping out people. So having that community and having those people that are in your kind of right corner and are always there for you have definitely helped.
Well, and you got it close. And for anyone that knows Sam will butcher all the cliche terms out there. If I'm not mistaken, it's more simply put, you are a direct result of the five closest people to you. So look in the mirror, look at your friend circle, write down the five closest people to you. And it's proven that they probably all make an average of their five salaries. You're going to be as an average version of them. You're going to be surrounded by them. So if you want to be a millionaire, the first thing is to go surround yourself with millionaires. You want to be a top producer, start talking to top producers. You want to be, you know, $100,000 producer, hang out with $100,000 producers. So who we hang with does matter. And there's some incredible operations people over the years that I've sort of seen you networking with and that sort of stuff. But talk to me about this conference. You're on stage, you're 680 plus people. You're presenting to this room of powerhouses with four other operations people. What was that experience like for you?
The first 5 minutes were deathly terrifying. And then after I kind of warmed up and getting my opportunity to share what's worked within our systems, how we've set it up, failing forward, and just being able to discuss kind of the details on what's worked and what hasn't. It was very powerful just to have people listening in and taking away different stuff from it, not only just from me sharing, but kind of bouncing off other people sharing and having that kind of piece of solidarity, knowing that, hey, we've actually all gone through the exact same things, and we can learn a lot from each other.
Okay. So when we look at your department and everything else, and as you're sharing, thank you so much for sharing as much as you are. How are you helping the team to continue to operate at such a high level? Any tips or tricks for any operations people that are listening?
Tricky question, but also not, because complexity is the biggest enemy of execution. Honestly, is just being open to. There's another one-liner. I can't stop. it's being open to ideas and jotting them down. It doesn't mean you need to effectively execute something the next day, but just listening in with your agents, they can say a lot just with their language and how they show up of what's working and what's not. Sometimes an idea that you have isn't always the best one for everybody else, and being open to that feedback and accepting negative feedback where it is and working off of it and being better would be my biggest piece. And yeah, I won't get into the nitty gritty parts of the systems that I specifically use unless that's where we're headed, but just making sure that you're set up with how you're organizing in what needs to get done in a day, your priorities are set out, and your goals for your week and your month are clear and focused on is definitely a way for you to succeed in the role, not only just from a day-to-day perspective, but month by month and year by year.
One of the things I'm hearing through that conversation is, you know, yes, you guys are operations, but you're not functioning really just as straight operations, right? There's no boredom happening. You guys are constantly evolving and recreating systems. And I don't think we'll get into the nitty gritty. I think if anyone wants to hear that sort of information, they should probably schedule some time with you. Would you be open to chatting with anyone if they did reach out to you?
I would love that. Yep. I'm always awesome. Open.
And then, you know, you guys are, you know, you mentioned fun, you mentioned growth, you mentioned mindset. The one thing I don't think we've really touched on is through your career, and I know I'm going to use the word ego, even though I don't necessarily consider it an ego point of view, but you're working with some massively successful agents, and, you know, me not being the only one, how are you able, and I always hear you kind of in the back of my head, hey, can you fit your head through that door? But how are you managing these incredible talented agents that they're fast paced, they don't communicate well, they want everything like it was yesterday? I mean, how are you keeping it all together?
Just let me catch my breath here. I can't breathe with your ego. yeah, how am I managing that? Yeah. how am I managing that? It's a great question. So definitely pulling from past experience of kind of knowing what the average agent behaviors are and kind of studying over the years of being in the industry and hearing the language and knowing the behaviors that come from it and always kind of being one step ahead. So I'm very proactive in a lot of things that I do in my life, and I just apply that in with the business. So I try and think of a couple instances that could happen in the future and make sure that I'm planned out properly with my systems that they're set out. So an example of that is when I'm setting out a system for, say, a checklist or something that is a procedure that's going on within the business. Is it adaptable that if I were to step out of my role, could somebody replace me, or could I apply it into a different location, or is it only built just right now for 3 agents that I have on the team? I'm always thinking bigger and making sure that my systems are not built for the team that we have right now, but for the team that I know we're going to have in the future.
So scalability in a word.
Yes. Thanks.
You're welcome. So what's next? I mean, you guys have been affectionately nicknamed Team Awesome from our entire organization. Where's Team Awesome headed to next?
Well, I'm hoping we can expand into a couple more locations. And in the next year, I'd love to find my replacement and step into a bigger role within the organization of Andre's empire of companies that you're constantly creating. And yeah, keeping us as Team Awesome and expanding and showing up for our people the way that they need to be shown up for.
Okay. Last two questions before we wrap. We're almost out of time here today. If you could share something with a real estate agent who's struggling or even building, doesn't even matter, what's one thing that you believe every real estate agent needs to know?
There's so much that there is to know, but I guess kind of, I mentioned it briefly before, but complexity is the biggest enemy of execution. So, I mean, when you're an agent's thinking, there's so much to do, I don't have enough time, I don't think I can execute something, just simple it down and start with one thing. What's one thing that you can do that's going to keep your business afloat or grow your business or support your business, whatever pillar you're focusing on, and just execute something. I know I've said it before, but the 10-minute workout that you do 5 times a week is more than the 50-minute workout that you didn't.
Wow, that is a loaded answer to a loaded question. Sam, thank you so much for being with us on the Real Estate Hustle podcast. How do our listeners find you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can send me an email to sam@compassreadvisors.com, or you can find me on social media, Facebook, Sam Metzger, and also my Instagram is my first and last name. So anywhere social media or email is probably best.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing and giving us a different insight on the Real Estate Hustle podcast. Again, guys, Sam at compassrealestateadvisors.com, Sam Metzger at Facebook, Sam Metzger on Instagram. Shameless plug time. If you want to get your butt kicked, go do one of Sam's workouts as well. We're so appreciative of it. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, website at the Real Estate Hustle podcast.com. So thank you so much for being here, Sam. It's been a treat talking to you. We look forward to hearing from you next year when you've done some more incredible things in operations and hit those goals of yours. So we appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.